Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I'm Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, hey, we are only talking about Happily Ever After.
Ever After. This was so much, I don't know, it felt like filler to me.
Filler? Really?
So,
I don't know why.
Let me say it like this. For me, it felt like the last few episodes have felt like this. It felt like all the drama is the stuff that we're not trying to cover. We're not trying to cover Angela. We're not trying to cover Big Ed. And it seems like the show was really focused on their dramas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To carry the season.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we're getting with the other couples, at least from my perspective, is kind of continuations of stuff we've been covering already from them.
But let's start with Andre and Libby. I don't know if it's a filler because we found out that they're having another baby.
Congratulations. Yeah. Yay. So this was big news. This was definitely big news, but it was such a small part. It was a fleeting part of the episode. Mm. And I was like, is that all we're going to get from Libby and Andre? Right. Because they're saving, again, the family drama later. I saw as they showed in the preview. It was you guys.
Yeah.
All it takes is a phone call. But yeah, definitely. Congratulations. It looks like Andre wants a boy, right?
Yeah. He wants another kid so that he can cuss in front of, you know. That's something that I really cannot accept about Andre is that this guy has no tact.
No.
He was cussing in front of the nurse. And with Ellie on his lap.
Yeah.
That kid's first word, I mean, she's already talking, but I'm pretty sure she's going to start picking up the F-bomb pretty soon because of how many her dad drops every day.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. This is like so Eurotrash of him to be not cognizant of who's around him, whether it's a child, it's a stranger, someone who's helping your wife. With the ultrasound, I just feel like he has zero awareness of his surroundings. And this tells me that he has no manners.
He's inconsiderate. Totally inconsiderate. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe he was raised like this, that this is okay. But I would think, too, that at this age, you would have enough faculty to understand there's a particular way you behave around people. There's a social etiquette and things like that. And you just don't. Like you said, right? Just start cussing everywhere and in front of certain people. And it's just like when you're in these public spaces or whatever, or you're with like certain professionals, these are kind of our unspoken standards and rules.
Social etiquette, right?
Yeah, it's inconsiderate. Yeah, never mind that you're even cursing in front of your children, right? And that's, I think, where I was getting at. Well, maybe when he was a kid, he was... Yeah, but he's grown up now and he should have that awareness, like you said.
Yeah. You know, when we met his parents, what was it, like the season before in another 90 Day Fiancé spinoff, his mom and dad are so sweet.
They're nice people.
You don't think they would raise him like that. I think he might have gotten it when he was much older, maybe when he was in the police force or whatever he was working as.
Working as a cop.
As a hard-ass cop, you know, just cussing everywhere, but I think it's almost like he cannot help himself. He cannot stop himself. And before people call us out on this, I know our podcast is WTF, but trust me, I think we have more manners than him. People have thrown to us and say, hey, do you guys have to cuss on your podcast? But at the same time, too, we do give a disclaimer to our listeners that this is for a mature audience. So we apologize in advance if you're listening to this in a car where your kids is at the back seat and I let out a F-bomb or Lon said something nasty, but we're not like this in front of children or elderly. Like,
right.
I'm not going to cuss around my dad. I'm not going to cuss around small kids during Halloween or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're better than Andre. But yeah, I just want to call that out because I get very uncomfortable when Andre dropped the F-bomb in front of his daughter.
Right.
It's an SMH moment for me, a WTF moment almost. So, speaking of WTF, not that this is my WTF, What do you think about Yara and her mom scheming, trying to engineer this permanent move, I should say, to Prague, and Yara kind of like, you know, pushing things along, right? She
Yeah.
wants to go see apartments. Her mom set her up with those appointments. Like, Lon, how would you feel if, like, your partner one day, if you're in Jovi's shoes, how would you feel about this?
If I thought it was something permanent, I would definitely feel like, WTF, right? What's going on here? But the way Yara is selling it, right? And I think this was awesome for Yara to sell it this way. And I think the way she sold it, Jovi needs to listen. And I think he could have been more compromising, less aggressive about trying to shut her down. So I know that they're saying, oh, you know, we have an apartment and you should stay here. But the way Yara tried to sell it to him was, if I'm going to be visiting, at least I'll have like a place to stay. I just want to see. And then he goes, oh, well, you know, with your visa and stuff, you have to be at least 180 days. Well, that leaves more than half of the year too, where, you know, if you were to leave, and on months where it's your mom is like, I'm busy this month, what could it hurt if she took a trip back to visit home in an apartment that's hers and the mom could help babysit? So I think he also needs to be open to that, because a lot of the times when what we're seeing a 90-day fiance is really selfish Americans. Like, do you expect her not to see her family? Like, why is it okay that we take people out of their homeland with the expectation you're going to stay here, which I get, they came here there for a visa, but your family and your parents are the only people that get to spend time with the grandchildren? Like, you don't think that her mom or her side of the family wants to see your children too?
Yeah.
So there's room here for compromise. And he just kept shutting her down, shutting her down, shutting her down. And I can see how frustrating that is for Yara to be like, I miss it here. You know, I miss it here. And I want to stay, but you know what? That leaves room for compromise. Well, we can't stay. But, you know, if you want to get an apartment for you to have a place here, and there are parts of the year where you want to come visit, then I'm open to that. But instead, he just flips his shit and he's just like, no, 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 no. And he does this a lot. Jovi does this a lot. There's no room for compromise for Jovi. It has to be a certain way all the time, right? So I just think their relationship would be a lot healthier if he was more open-minded to compromising.
I'm glad that you're providing that perspective from Yara's side of things, because when I watched this scene, I came in putting myself in Jovi's shoes, because if you're a green card sponsor, you know, you spend the money, you've made the petition, you've done all the paperwork, you went through an interview process and everything. You went through quite a journey just to get someone legalized as a resident in the US. I think it's safe to say that the next step is not for the person to like want to not stay in the US permanently. So I think I can see that he's a little bit like annoyed by the proposal. It does sound reasonable, because I'm all about both sides of the family having to be able to spend time with them. So I can see why she wanted to have an apartment in Europe. But at the same time, too, I think it seems to me that she sprung this on Jovi. There was no prior discussion, at least as far as I can remember. Maybe there was behind the scenes, but let's suspend our disbelief, right? Like, assuming that all of this is happening, like, while the camera's rolling, right? Like, this is their storyline. If we want to critique just the storyline, I cannot remember a scene previous to this where she said, like, I would like to buy a home in Europe.
They didn't.
They didn't. Because had she vocalized that previously, I would have understood this did not come out of left field. This was something that was talked about repeatedly, or might have been mentioned more than once, probably.
She did say, I'm telling you now.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be talking about this. Just, so I'm telling you now.
That's why if you put yourself in Jovi's shoes, I can see why he's like, wait a minute. You know, this is an ambush. Why are we looking at apartments? You just got your green card. And yeah, there is a rule where if you have a conditional green card, which is what she has, you cannot stay out of the country willy-nilly. You have to be in the freaking country showing proof that you are a contributing tax-paying resident alien. So I think his knee-jerk reaction is, I think it's acceptable, because why would you want to look elsewhere when we went through all this trouble to get you to the US? So I
Right.
think I can see why he was a little bit reluctant. But I also think that Yara's approach is too aggressive too, because like you say, even though she made sense, even though she probably has like the best intention, right? Like she wanna be closer to her mom. I think the way she went about it was like, it's my way or nothing, you know? I see her as not compromising, but I'm surprised that
They're
you
both
see.
not compromising in their own ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
So that's,
can't seem to find a middle ground.
yeah. So yeah, I guess I'm curious to know what happens next. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna have that life of like flying back and forth across
Back
the
and forth.
pond. Yeah.
It's not new to them either. I think you pointed that out in a previous episode, is they were always like kind
Jet
of,
setting. Yeah.
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 Like whenever he would go off and work during his vacation or whatever, or whenever he'd come back, that was a month that he got to take off and they'd go spend it somewhere else. So.
Right. So I can see that this lifestyle is sustainable for them, but I just think that the way she went about it is very like, it's my way. Like, let's do it now. Let's go look for houses. And Jovi's probably coming in there thinking, we're having a vacation, right? Like, why are we looking at apartments
Yeah.
during our vacation?
They're supposed to be helping.
Yeah, you're supposed to be helping your family and friends from
Yeah.
Ukraine, right? Like, well, why are we
And if you take the events to back to back to back, it is a lot, right? Like,
Yeah.
we're going to go to Ukraine. Oh, shit. Oh, by the way, we have an apartment lined up. Hold
Yeah.
on. I'm still not over the fact we're just getting here.
It's like you gotta pump the brake, Yara. Like,
Yeah.
anyway, well, I thought we can maybe move on to Usman and Kimbali. Oh gosh. Lord have mercy on her. Dude, I hate to say this, but the more I watch her scenes, the word desperate just comes to mind. I apologize, guys. I don't want to call people desperate. And I know this is just a fake storyline, maybe, but I also just saw a video of her proposing to him.
What?
Yeah, I just saw it like minutes ago before we were recording this episode. And the source is from ET, Entertainment Tonight, has a video of Kimberly proposing to Usman.
Why?
With candlelights and all that. And she has a ring. She got on her knees. Propose to him.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh man, I just feel like these moves that she makes, like it's desperate. It just screams desperate. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I can see how it's empowering. I can definitely see that. I can see how like a woman who proposed to a man is still waiting for the man to propose to her. But I mean, given their circumstances, I just feel like Kimberly, is this truly the love of your life?
Yeah.
When you are constantly arguing about the fact that you don't want to be the second wife, you don't want to
Right.
accept his conditions, you cannot bear a child for him.
And how many times already has she walked out? We're done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so done. We're done.
Yeah.
And
come to
close
find
the
out,
door.
she went back to propose. That's
Yeah.
even worse.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. The entire scene for me was cringy because it is coming off like, this just seemed like such a Hail Mary pass of desperation that I was just like, don't nobody want to see your kids, bruh. Okay, well, that's great. Can you give him a kid now? Like, this is going to win you points? Oh, if they saw that I have a son. No, because you can't give him one. And that's what matters.
Yeah.
Your son is not his son.
Yeah.
It's just like, this isn't winning you points. You know, and she's like, here we go. Here's my phone. Come look at me and my boy. It was so cringy to me.
Yeah.
And like, she thought she was winning points. And I guess she earned some respect for being in the military. I think the guy was right of that when you find a fellow service member, it's like, thank you for your service. There is kind of a bond there, but not enough to say, hey, like you guys are meant to be together and you should marry each other. It was just screaming desperation and I was cringing the entire time. And I knew it wasn't going to change the outcome. And I think, you know, like you just said, if she's proposing, maybe she's come to her senses. And I don't think so, though. I don't think so. She is very hung up on this whole status of being the first. And it's just like, no, that's not how this is going to work. And it can, if you're willing to do that, like, but it doesn't seem like you are. So,
yeah, I saw something online, obviously through Reddit. Someone actually pointed out that being polygamous, even if it's legal in your home country, disqualifies you from entering the US on a K-1 or marriage-based visa. So ultimately, Usman will not be able to enter the US and get a green card if he declares himself as, you know, being in a polygamy. So I wonder, that's why I think it's
the other
fake.
Way. He's going to be on the other way.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Kimberly might move to Nigeria. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Maybe, right? If she proposes to him, she'll do anything. Yeah, I mean, oh my God, yeah. And that's your answer, Lan, right? Like you tweeted about, or you posted something on our IG about Usman scheming his way into two more seasons of 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah, that's probably the answer. I mean, Kimberly and him could potentially extend this, just like the next couple that we're about to talk about, to at least two more seasons of The Other Way, or maybe another season of Happily Ever After. Maybe if they broke up, then a single life.
Single life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, oh my God, I guess we'll never see the end of them. How gangster is the mom for saying, like, yeah, actually, I want to set you up with a family.
She's waiting at the house, I think, right? Or something like that. Like, oh.
Dude, gangster move right there. Savage.
She's waiting. She's eager to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Ouch.
Yeah, the mom doesn't play around, man. She's like,
no.
Yo, I need my grandkids. I need them now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thought we can end with, guess who? Sumit and Jenny. Man, I know it's your favorite couple, Lon. I know you have a lot to say. But I mean, I want to be on Jenny's side. I really do. But like, people, like, you know, the interwebs are pointing out a lot of flaws from Jenny. Like, okay, she doesn't want to do the things that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want him to work. I guess people are saying she doesn't like cleaning and cooking. Like, her idea of cooking is microwaving a frozen pizza.
Potatoes, right?
Yeah,
I was just going to boil some potatoes.
Yeah. I mean,
what? What?
Okay, then my question is, did Sumit screen her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you mean to say this chick is boiling potatoes for you and you're like, yep, she's wife material for me. Like, you know what I mean? For Sumit. I'm not saying that, you know, some people are okay with that. That's fine. And apparently, if you follow Sumit and Jenny on Instagram, they're constantly eating out. They're living the life in India.
Yeah.
So they're doing cameos. They're doing brand sponsorships. So they're not exactly needing to work, especially in India where the rupee really stretch, right? Especially if you're paid in US dollars, it goes a long way in India. But I don't know, Jenny's starting to be a dead weight, like a dead weight, a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Her chat game must have been really good, y'all. Phone game was fire, y'all, because in IRL, she's not cutting it, right? And I'm not trying to be patriarchal or even or ageist here, but what are you bringing to the relationship? Where's the value here, right? You don't want to meet his mother's expectations, right? Like you said, where you don't want to clean and stuff like that. Like, you don't want to cook. He's a better cook. He's going to cook. He's bringing home like leftovers from the restaurant and stuff. You're not adventurous. She's still bringing up the Kama Sutra shit. Like, he's trying to spice up your sex life. Is that so bad? She's still bringing that up. Like, Kama Sutra classes. Is all you're good for is just to sit at home and be the two of you like together and hold him back? And we see that he's trying to, seems like now he's trying to fight for his freedom to be away.
His social life.
Right, because she's trying to lock him down. And I don't think it's fair for anyone. It doesn't matter, male, female, like, it's unfair to any partner to deny the other friendship or a social life.
Mm-hmm.
I get that there are expectations to be together, which I think is completely reasonable. And I think she's feeling some type of way about him working a lot and seeing where do I fit in all of this? But at the same time, like, that's something they're both going to have to work out. But I don't think the answer is you have to stay here with me because I can't do anything. Well, that's your fucking fault. I'm sorry to say that,
savage.
But I hate that, right? Y'all, I've been in that relationship before and she was nowhere near Jenny's age, but that was her expectation was, well, I don't feel like going out. Well, I do. Well, I don't. So you have to stay here.
There's that misery loves company.
Are you
thing.
Serious? Yeah. Like, I have to stay because you don't feel like going out. Well, what about tomorrow? Right? If she said this on a Friday. Well, what about tomorrow? No. Okay, Sunday. And it became me asking them for my freedom. Like, can I go out? Can I go out with my friends? It shouldn't be that way. And I don't ever want to be in that kind of relationship. I hate to see other people be in that kind of relationship. Like, you should be okay. I don't think that's right to deny anyone a social life, to deny anyone access to friends. Like, if you don't want to go out, cool. But don't stop your partner from having a social life and having friends of
That's
their own.
selfish. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I like how he was like, well, it seemed like you were able to get out and see what India is about and stuff. Nah, I just want to stay home. I'm just like, oh, I understand you're getting older, Jenny, but like, this guy still has a lot of life left in him.
To live. Yeah.
I hate to
Yeah.
put it that way. That just sounds mean, but.
I think at this point, that's how a lot of us feel about Sumit. Like, I think Sumit has been very patient with Jenny. Jenny plays the victim card by saying stuff like, I made the sacrifice to move to India. No, bitch, you made the choice.
Yeah.
You made the choice. You reverse catfish him. You
Right,
did.
right.
I mean, I get it. He catfished you. At least he came out of it, like he admitted. And then you trapped him. And then you made the effort. I remember the first time I saw Jenny on TV. She received her Indian passport. She went over and stayed with him. And then come to find out that Jenny has been traveling to India and like fucking in his house upstairs from where the parents live or something. And I hate to say this word, but I think some people are saying that Jenny has been grooming him. You know, that's almost accusatory because obviously the cameras were not around to capture that. But when you hear the timeline and the way things pan out for them as a couple, it just seems like older women grooming younger
It
foreign
does.
men. You know what I
It
mean? Like,
does. It does.
yeah.
Yeah, he's slowly starting to
Right.
see differences now, and we're getting to watch it unfold. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's not what you thought it was to me.
Yeah. That's why I like every time Jenny brings up the whole, like, I made the sacrifice. No, I think you made the choice. You choose to leave the US and start a life in India with him. You made that choice. You brought your social security money with you. You made that choice. He didn't put a gun to your head. He didn't call you every night to force you to like leave the US. I think you wanted to close the gap. And you know he can't come to the US because, yeah, then it's a different process, right? But now I guess she wants him to come to the US because she's like, well, at least in the US, I can hang out with my friends and family. It's like, okay, but since you chose to come to India, why don't you start your own network there? You know, why
Right.
don't you make friends?
Isn't she also supposed to study Hare Krishna? Wasn't that one of the things, conditions of her getting married or something?
Yeah, like she's
What
supposed
happened to
to.
that shit?
I know that just fell off the wayside. Like it's, I don't know what happened, but yeah, you would think she has friends from the Hare Krishna or like, you know, from temple, from market, from, you know, the streets. I don't know,
The
but
streets.
the New Delhi streets. I don't know, but I don't think it's right for her to chain him down, you know, like the guy at work, you know, let him make his very, very exotic pizza. You
I
know,
was just gonna say that was a lot of work, though. The friend was like 7 days or something like that. You have to be here every day or something. I was like,
yeah,
B.
but that's the
I
food
don't know about
business,
that.
right? It's the that's the F&B business. It's like if you close one day, I mean, you lose out, and theirs looks like a small shop. They're a catering business, I believe. And I didn't even know that Sumit does this. I thought he works as a call center guy, but I didn't know he has a side business. Sumit's becoming like the man of the mystery or something. Right? Like you don't know that he does this and suddenly he comes up and like, oh, I actually have an F&B business with a friend. I'm like, what? Like, oh, I have two homes. What? Damn, Sumit. Okay. Let's wrap this up then. Lon, you go ahead with your WTF moment.
WTF for me has to go to Kimbali. That was one of the cringiest, one of the most like eye-rolling moments. Here we go. Like, y'all, no offense to anyone who has kids, right? No offense, really. But when people like take out their phone, you want to see my kids? No, I don't. While I'm nodding, yes, yeah, let's see your kids. Here we are. Here's me and my son. I'm like, oh. And this was just so much of that. And I was just like, don't nobody want to see that shit, bro. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. And you know, and she's like, here, yeah, here, take my phone. Look at, here's pictures of me and my son.
She had that poker face when she turned to Usman and said, show them a picture of my son.
Show them, yeah.
I bet you the inner monologue was, show them that I have a black son. He's also just as African. I apologize if this offends anyone, yeah, but that's the thing, is that
that's right? What it felt like, yeah, to me. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot to state that too. That it was almost like she was trying to win points on,
yeah,
that
brownie
as
points,
well.
For sure.
And it was just so bad. I'm just like, no, no, no.
I mean, she did get the response that she wanted to hear, right? Because wasn't Farouk the one who said, oh, he's African, like
us. Or something?
He's one, yeah, of us or something. And I'm like, yep, that's her intention, is that she wants to show them that, hey, look, I'm with you guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm down.
I'm down.
You know, like, that was very cringy, though. Like, nobody asked.
She starts calling the mom sis.
Yeah,
sis. Stop, stop. You know.
Man, that's a good one. My WTF moment is actually like a subtext almost, or almost like a subplot, but I'm not sure if a lot of people caught this. But when Sumit pointed out that Jenny bought those green peppers, and Sumit said, what are we going to use this for? And Jenny said, you can stick it up your...
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, damn, I guess Sumit really likes to be pegged. Yeah, I don't know what they're teaching at Kama Sutra, but... Whatever, right? Whatever float, yeah, his boat. I mean, maybe he does like to be pegged. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I felt like there was some kind of private joke or something.
I know. Like, that's what it felt like, is that there was some, like, internal humor between the two of them, right? Like a inside joke.
Yeah,
what,
you know,
yeah. Yeah, the words I was trying to find. Like,
Because he also, giggled about it.
Yeah, right? He just left it off, too. So I'm like, maybe there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Maybe they do like to stuff something up there. But anyway, no judgment. I just caught that and I thought that was a cute WTF, I guess you can say. So, yeah. All right, Lon. That is all for our coverage of last week's episode of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Any last words before we close this off?
I saw a really good documentary last night on Hulu about Jerry Falwell Jr. So I knew that there was a scandal about he and his wife, I guess.
Who is he, Lon, if you don't mind me asking?
Jerry Falwell Jr., his dad, Jerry Falwell, was a very influential evangelical, and he founded, I believe, what's called Liberty University. And, you know, a lot of, I guess, Christian evangelicals or whatever are pumped out of that school. And the school itself has already questionable stuff, right? But this particular documentary focused on Jerry Falwell Jr. and the scandal he was involved in. So let me take it back.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of influence, and he's who people point to as the person who influenced the evangelical constituents to side with Trump during Trump's electoral run. So that's how much power he has, right?
Oh, like, wow. Okay.
All the evangelicals, and they were thinking, yo, Trump, this guy Trump isn't the holy guy. But because Jerry Falwell Jr. was like, this is a man of God, and we need to get behind this guy, they credit him for bringing the evangelicals on board to vote Trump.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, the scandal was that it came out that he and his wife, they were having an affair with a pool boy. And Jerry, here's the thing, right? You're into
both of them.
Yeah, so you're into what you're into.
Judgment free zone right here.
Judgment free zone.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with anyone's sexual proclivities or things like that. And so Jerry likes to be what they say cucked, right? Cuckolded.
Yeah.
Right? He likes
to
watch.
He wants to watch his wife.
Gets turned off. Or turned on. Yes.
Yeah.
People, there is a fetish out there for those who don't know,
yeah,
where it turns you on to see your partner intimate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Jerry's thing. We're into what we're into.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever, you know, it's right? Fetish. Yeah, whatever.
That was the scandal. But I think the bigger picture is the hypocrisy of Well, we're Christians. We have to live by this certain rule set. And this extends to Liberty University. It gets into Liberty University because as a student there, you can't drink, you can't have sex. You know, again, all these weird Christian rules in order for you to be part of the university, a student at the university. And here he is, dare I mean, partying, drinking, and engaging in these activities. So anyways, the story is how Jerry Falwell and his wife, they kind of used this pool boy and almost destroyed his life. And this documentary is from his side. And he tells it because he felt that they were using him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that all these promises that they made him and his name being smeared. And he was like, F this. If this is how I thought you guys were friends, if you guys are going to screw me like this, I'm telling my side of the story. And he tells his side. And it was really, really fascinating.
What's the name of the documentary again?
I don't know. Something like Just Between Us, I think.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. Oh, let me just, sorry, y'all. I should have been prepared. But it's a great documentary. What is it called? God Forbid.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's called God Forbid.
Even before you got to the hypocrisy part, I was going to ask you, like, okay, so what's the problem, right? Because, okay, fine, you have a fetish, we get it. Okay, fine, you started a Christian university, okay, we get it, you know? But then it's what they do that contradicts their preaching and their belief system. And that's what I don't get about people like that.
And eventually, too, the power that he has. Like I said, they've credited him for bringing evangelicals to support Trump. And that's such a huge, right? And that's a lot of power for one person to wield. So it ties into that.
Where is he based out of?
Not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget. I forget where that's at.
It has that Herschel Walker vibes, you know? Herschel Walker saying that, oh yeah, like, no to abortion. Meanwhile, he paid for a few.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly like that. Like,
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. I will definitely be checking out that documentary, Lon. Thank you for that recommendation. I have been watching Andor, if anyone's interested, on Disney Plus. It's really good. Has a slow burn, but really good. I know, Lon, you and your brother have been watching Peripherals on Amazon Prime. Is that?
Oh, I haven't started that yet. Len has, though.
Yeah.
That looks great.
Yeah. It's a slow burn, but I have to rewatch it again. So maybe I'll pick it up again. Other than that, I think, yeah, for me, it's just Andor now that there's no more House of Dragons.
I know.
And Ring of Power. Anyway, just want to wish everyone a happy Native American Heritage Month. I believe this is November. So happy Movember.
Movember, right? No, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you got to keep your mustache. I'm not sure if that's a thing anymore. Anything else, Mom?
Oh, that's it for me.
All right. Well, be kind to one another.
Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.